queue and you had to wait for people to get come out so you could get in, that kind of thing. Well, my text is in those words that are highlighted there. There's still room. Jesus says there's still room right now at this very moment, 11:05 on a Sunday morning. Jesus says there's still room if you want to come. When I was a young Christian, I heard two ladies sing a song. I'd never heard it before. I don't think I've heard anybody sing it since. We've sung it, I think, once or twice. There's room at the cross for you. Yes, you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross. I've never forgotten it. Did that do anything to you? Children's story was tremendous. Reality, isn't it? Well, once again, same passage, the banquet, and there's still room. I had the privilege about 10 years ago of going to the Rhondda and meeting a bloke who was in his 80s. He'd been in church all his life. And a few months before I met him, he'd come to Christ. He'd been in church all his life. And what a difference. He'd come, he knew he was forgiven. He'd come as a sinner to Jesus. He'd come and found there was room for one. And wouldn't it be tremendous this morning if you came? For some of you haven't come, have you? You know, as we slept or didn't sleep last night in certain parts of the world, people were coming to Christ and being saved. And yet, wonderfully, there's still room. There's still room. And we know there's room because there will be room until he comes, for that time that Anne was talking about. Now, maybe you've applied for a job or a course or something, and you knew spaces are limited, and you just hoped for the best, but in the end, you didn't get in, didn't get chosen. Perhaps the spaces were filled by others, they were better qualified, or perhaps they weren't. But regarding heaven, we all qualify. We're all sinners. That's all you need to do, is to be a sinner, and to know you're a sinner, and to come to Jesus as a sinner, and ask him to do something with you. That's the only qualification you need. Great news. Lord Jesus said there's still spaces to be filled. Now, what's your response right now to that? Shrug the shoulders. Just sit there, let the words fly over your head. Ignore it, nod in agreement, but not let it really affect your life too much. Or have you come, or will you come to be saved? See, you need to be freed from the judgment of God, condemnation of God. You need to be freed from the power of sin, selfishness, just contaminates every little bit of our lives. Fish don't need swimming lessons, do they? And regarding sin, we don't need any teaching, any training to sin. It just comes, selfishness is effortless. To put myself first is the easiest thing every day, to put myself first. As somebody said years ago, you know, in hospitals, minor surgery is what happens to everybody else. It's major surgery when it happens to me, because that's what we're like. I remember reading 20 years ago, I used to buy the Times on a Monday morning, it was 20 pence. And there was a famous guy, a famous author in there, saying, I gave up on God, he was never there when I needed him. But oh, he was there, that's the thing. He was there, but our concept of need is wrong. When you're in the corner and suddenly, you know, the doctor's told you that it is terminal, oh, now suddenly you see a need. But of course, God sees our need all the time. Our need is so warped because we are warped. I read years ago of an emperor, Frederick the Great, and he was visiting Potsdam Prison. And just like today, all the inmates that he met said, Your Majesty, you know, I was fitted up by the police. I'm innocent. I am. I didn't do anything. I shouldn't be in here. I was framed, just like today, people would say. And then as the emperor went round, he spoke to one prisoner who admitted he was guilty. He said, Oh, I deserve to be in here. I deserve the punishment. I'm guilty as charged. And immediately the emperor said to the governor, Release this man. He's guilty. He's contaminated all the innocent people who are in here. And that's it, isn't it? Nothing has changed. But still this morning, Jesus says, You can come. Remember years ago, Sophia Loren. Remember Sophia Loren? I should go to heaven, she said. I haven't done anything wrong. My conscience is very clean. Well, that might be true. Her conscience might well feel clean, but her conscience is not a very good guide. That's the trouble. We can sin. We can look somebody in the eye and sin without batting an eyelid, can't we? Do you remember Mo Cohen? He was the a gangster who ran Los Angeles just after the Second World War in the late 40s. He ran, he had the police chiefs in his pocket, he had Hollywood producers in his pocket, and he heard this young preacher, Billy Graham, and he loved hearing him. Invited him to his penthouse suite and all his friends, and Billy Graham would preach the gospel, and Morcombe would clap and say, "That's tremendous, Billy." And then one day, young Billy Graham sat him down and said, "What about your sin?" And do you know what Moore Cohen said? This is what he said. "Hey, I never killed no one who didn't have it come in." You see, is there any limit to the excuses we can make, even regarding murder? You know how you excuse yourself. When you've done something awful or you were really cruel to somebody, it's because you were tired or because you were stressed. We're just the same, aren't we? There was an inquest verdict this week, wasn't there, the Hillsborough tragedy. I remember it very well because I was a young Christian, 1989, and the awful news that 96 people had gone to a football match and never came home. They'd gone to a football match, and instead of coming home, they stood on their own before a holy God. It's frightening, terrifying. None of them expected that. And their families, when they waved and went out to the door, I bet none of them just hugged them and said, "Well, maybe I'll never see you again." They didn't expect it, did they? Man dropped dead a week ago in the London Marathon, 5 or 6 miles from the finish. He wasn't old. Death suddenly leapt out of the shadows. He wasn't expecting it. Were any of the 96 or that gentleman, were any of them ready? I don't know. Are you ready to stand before your Creator? You ready? You know, if you could calculate how much guilt there is in one moment of unbelief, it would frighten you, living daylights out of you. To rob God for a second is a serious crime. To keep on robbing Him. You've done it. I did it. Can you imagine the accumulation, the steaming mound of guilt, second after second, after day, after week, after month, after year, of refusing to believe in the Lord? And yet still this morning, this is the amazing thing, still this morning Jesus says, "Come to me." And yet He's the one you've offended. But He says there's still room. Come. Will you come? If you haven't come before, will you come today? You know, I read this week in Mark chapter 12, Jesus saying to one of the religious rulers, "Oh, you're not far from the kingdom, you know. You're not far." Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? He's not far. To be close, to be near, that's encouraging, isn't it? But to be that close and not go in, isn't that awful? To be near and you don't get in, that's devastating. You know, there's a figure written in the Bible, 603,550. It's how many people came out of Egypt. And I remember the figure because of those 603,550, they saw the promised land at times. They were that close. But out of 603,550, do you remember how many got in? Two. No, they were all close. They were near. But most of them didn't get in. And some of you are sitting there. You're close, perhaps. You're in church, you're a nice person, we like you, you like coming, but it's not enough. I worry about some of you, I do. Where are you? Many assume that being close is enough. It's not enough. Many who are close will hear those words on the last day, Jesus saying, "Depart from me, go away from me, I never knew you." If you died right now, where would you go? In 1794, Samuel Marsden sailed to Australia. Australia at the time had about 10,000 people living there, mostly converts. And Samuel Marsden went, and he was a preacher. He preached the gospel, they beat him up. He carried on preaching, they burnt the church down. He carried on preaching, they tried to drown him. He carried on preaching for 14 years. And after 14 years, one person heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Come," and came. Samuel Marsden carried on because he knew this is the only way. Jesus is the only Savior. One sinner at last saying, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. I read of Brad Pitt. You all know about him. He gave up on Christianity as a young man, he said, because it seemed to be all about saying he's the best. It seemed to be all about ego. But the thing is, he is the best. And he's not just the best of a bunch. He's the best by a mile. He is much, much, much better than anything and anybody. He is the best. But then, my greatest happiness is what Brad Pitt needs to realize, and maybe you need to realize. My greatest happiness, your greatest happiness, is actually tied up in him. He's offering the best. Because his greatest happiness is tied up in your greatest happiness. That's the amazing thing. And that's why he's offering right now an opportunity for the best for you. When he says, come, it's the best for you. You know, I read this morning, just reading my Bible this morning, Psalm 22, which Jesus quoted on the cross, if you remember, 1,000 years later, where Jesus talks in Psalm 22 about his tongue sticking to the roof of his mouth. He talks about being able to see all his bones. He talks about his heart melting like wax. He talks about them piercing his hands and his feet. And you realize when you read it, he had to go through all that just so that when he says, come to me, I can come. You had to go through all that, and you sit there. Some of you, you haven't come, and you sit there, and you hear what he's done, what he had to go through, and it doesn't bother you at all. Come to Christ. Come as you are. Come to be forgiven. Come to be changed. The Lord Jesus right now says, there's still room. There's still spaces. Come. Will you come? Amen.